I think the most important place to start with this is proper pronunciation of the town where your farm is. Is it Charlemont or is it Charlemont?
It is Charlemont.
Uh-oh.
Because it was named after an English lord who was involved in subjugating the rebellious Irish, and his name was Charles Mountjoy. He became the Earl of Charlemont. Charles Mountjoy.
It is. And did this happen in Ireland or did this happen here?
It happened in Ireland, but the connection between the crown and their so-called the Privy Council, the advisors of the crown, you'll find a lot of familiar names. You'll find Lord Shelburne. You'll find a Coleraine, Lord Coleraine. Uh-huh.
William of Orange.
And the Earl of Charlemont.
Wow, right. This was really the right person to ask.
Yeah, right.
My wife and I have been on the Historical Commission for many years.
And now that we're in March, it's good to talk about the subjugation of the Irish and fight against that repression. Anyway, we're really supposed to be having our local hero spotlight and talk about maple syrup with Bill Coley, who is from Blue Heron Farm in Charlemont, which we're now going to always say correctly because of that. And Claire Morneau, who is the communications manager for CESA, the local hero folks. We've been having some warm spells here, and my friends who are backyard maple sugarers are scrambling to get the taps going and to start the boils. It feels like a different type of year, but you're saying, Bill, that it's not.
It's become the new normal to have to tap earlier and earlier.
Is that climate change?
I can't tell you for sure, although I am a believer.
Yeah.
And in fact, we have a friend who is a chair of a Earth and Environmental Sciences department at Columbia University. He tells us they have no doubt about it. He's actually called the maple syrup producer the canary in the coal mine.
Oh, man.
Not because necessarily that in our lifetime the maple trees are going to start to die out wholesale fashion, but just because extremes are becoming the new normal.
Mm-hmm.
The storms are bigger because the atmosphere is bigger and can hold more water. The dates of the first frost and the last frost are very different.
Mm-hmm.
When we first moved to Charlemont in 1975, typically it was a 120-day growing season. We haven't seen a 120-day growing season in years and years. I mean, it's often at least a month longer. So right. Is it natural or human caused? I side with the human caused thing, but nonetheless, it is happening. We learned years ago that if you weren't ready in January to begin tapping, you could miss the whole season. Having said that, this is exactly like last year for us. This is 1,500 feet of elevation,
mm-hmm.
So we're not down in the valley here.
Charlemont. Right.
There you go. You quick learner, you. So this is not unusual. What's unusual for us, we've made almost twice as much syrup in the month of February as we have in the 43 years that we've been in Charlemont. We're fortunate to have a sugar lot that has good terroir.
You're speaking my language.
I know. I listen to that part of your program a lot. It's known before we came there to produce good syrup. When we first moved there in 1975, we met a farmer on the next hillside over, Mr. Roy Hicks. He's departed now. His family's been sugaring forever. And he grew up in the early part of the 20th century when the sugaring season in Charlemont used to be April.
Wow.
In his lifetime, right,
wow,
it became March. Now, are we seeing, is the sugaring season becoming February? I hope not. I don't know if that's going to be the case, but clearly you can sugar in February.
I like that continuity. You have 43 years of records,
right.
And you, when you first moved there, we're talking to somebody who was born in the 1800s,
right,
about his memory.
This is real stuff. This is factual.
Right. It's happening in real time,
right,
in real life with real farmers right now.
Exactly.
Like Bill Coley, who is from Blue Heron Farm in Charlemont, and Claire Morneau from CESA, the local hero folks. One thing that's changed in addition to the sugaring season is the grade system.
Absolutely.
No more grade A, grade B. Because grade B, I love the taste of grade B because
right.
I prefer the maple flavor to the sugar flavor. The time that the sap would come out of the tree would dictate whether this
you
is
bet.
Grade A,
got it.
More sugar, or grade B, more maple. But nobody wants to spend the same amount on grade B as they do with grade A, even though it's all good. So they've changed the way we look at it. Now, how is it set out now, Bill?
Well, this was something that the Canadians really instituted through the International Maple Syrup Institute. Now, you know, Canada is the proverbial 900-pound gorilla to the north. I mean, they make more syrup in Quebec than the entire U.S. So they dominate the world market, as you would expect. They, for various reasons, tend to make a lot of dark syrup. And previously, you could not sell what used to be called Grade B as a table grade syrup. So it brought a dramatically lower price on the wholesale market than so-called table grade syrup. So what they've effectively done by changing the grading standards with the approval of the U.S., USDA did not object to it in any way. A lot of us local producers thought it was a bad idea. The concept was good that they wanted to put in the mention of flavor because most people buy it based on the flavor rather than the color. And as you know, the lighter color has a less strong flavor. The darker colors have a more strong flavor. So now what was grade B is called very dark, strong flavor.
Okay? Love it.
But it's four table grades now. So that is grade A now. They're still called grade A. However, there's a threat, in my opinion, to the industry of what is transpiring in Canada, for sure, northern New York and northern New England, whereby there are huge operations, people with mega capital investing in maple, 200,000 or more taps. I mean, we have 4,000, and that's a lot. Factories to produce the syrup using big steam boiler-driven evaporators where they can take off hundreds of gallons an hour. If we take off a drum, 40 gallons in a day, that's a good day.
Yeah.
So they are processing that sap incredibly quickly. Well, that's great because you get nice golden syrup. But when they say delicate taste, a lot of times it has almost no taste. If you like grade B, I can guarantee you won't really like the golden delicate.
Hmm.
And so a lot of syrup with beautifully light color but relatively small taste is going to make its way into the market internationally.
Oh,
no, man. So the point of this, though, is if you want good flavored syrup, buy it from the person who's down the street from you. They don't have 200,000 taps, number one.
And screw you, Canada.
And upstate New York.
Yeah. Anyway, no, it's not the state or the country. It's really those big operations.
That's really kind of the core message. You were talking about terroir. And just the idea that if you buy from local producers who are functioning on a smaller scale, you're supporting your neighbors and you can really choose the flavor that you like best and be sure that you're going to get what you want.
And that's the whole mission of CESA.
Yeah.
Community Involved in Sustaining Agriculture, the local hero, folks, including Bill Coley, who is from Blue Heron Farm in Charlemont, and Claire Morneau, who's the communications director of CESA. You can find out more at buylocalfood.org.